All right, Sam, here's the first card. She's looking at this for the first time, too. All right, I want you to tell them what the background color is.
Blue.
All right. Now, what's in the picture?
A man with a hole on him.
Say that again, a little louder.
A man with a hole on him.
A man with a hole on him. Okay. Are there any numbers at the bottom of the card?
Yes.
What?
No.
No. Are there any numbers at the top?
Yes.
What's at the top? Oh, okay, one.
And two raindrops.
Say a little louder.
Two raindrops.
Two raindrops. And these are comments from M15.
Okay.
All right.
So.
No gatherer.
Yeah, I don't have gatherer. I don't actually know M15 well enough, though, so. Yeah, I got nothing. I don't know blue or M15 or magic. Mike?
It hurts.
Mike has his face covered and he's trying desperately to think. Dirk, you got anything?
Is it in, is it encrust?
It is encrust. Do you have gatherer open?
I do.
Yeah,
it is in crust, but it's got a man with a hole in his face.
He does, yeah.
So,
yeah?
All right. One other one. All right, what's the background color of this one?
Green.
All right. And what's in the picture?
A dirty man.
It's me.
Just about to say.
All right. And are there numbers at the bottom?
Yes.
And what are those numbers?
5 and 4.
Well, in the right order, they're 4 and then 5. And then what's at the top?
4 and 2 trees.
4 and 2 trees.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us the art description again.
A dirty monster.
A dirty monster. Anything else in the picture?
No.
Nothing else in the picture?
No.
No. Okay.
Nope, we're good.
Hearts.
Dirty monster.
Guess what it is?
Oh, no, it's Chewy. It's the wrong size. I was going to say roaring primadox? No. That's not a common anyway.
No, that's not common, yeah.
What was the numbers at the bottom?
It's a 4 or 5.
No gatherer. Dirk doesn't care.
I just don't care.
I don't know if you guys are going to get this one, but...
I mean, if I actually knew M15, of course I'd be able to know a common five for six.
Mike,
but...
this was in your seal at the pre-release that we played at.
Oh, that freaking thing. See, I don't know the names.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the names.
It is Carnivorous Moss Beast, because that is, in fact, a dirty monster.
Yes, because he's got moss all over him.
Yes.
Look that up now.
All right. Thank you, Samantha. Time for bed. I'm gonna go. I know you don't want to. I'm gonna go put her down. I'll be right back.
Okay, bye.
Good night, everybody. Say good night.
One orange.
You know, that's exactly what my kids just said when I put them to bed. Speaking of which, I have to go yell at them now.
Hello again, and welcome to the Mana Pool. This is, I didn't look, 336. Six?
I think that's right.
Let's go with 336 of the Mana Pool. We are brought to you, as always, by CardShark.com, a better way to buy and sell collectible card games.
Better way to buy and sell Magic.
Oh, it's a better way to buy and sell the magical card games, like this one that we talk about, not Hearthstone. So, thank you, Mike. It's so weird. Mike is in the room with me, and it's freaking me out, because he's wearing festive colors, and anyone that knows Mike knows that that's not Mike. So, it's kind of freaking me out.
It's a Hog Day shirt.
It's a Hog Day shirt. Was it Hawaiian After Work Day today?
No, this is just the shirt that was on the top of the pile in my drawer.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Anyway, so, this is episode 3. I was stalling for time while I got the website loaded. This is episode 336. If you would like to write about magic and don't have anywhere to write currently, then what you can do is write up your article and send it to me at submissions@cardshark.com, and it'll get posted on cardshark.com. Go there and buy cards. I actually have a list of some cards I want. I'm going to have to go to cardshark.com.
Kid seats are still only $5.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Anyway, right, so I'm Chewy. I'm the lead dork.
It's a noisy chair.
And Mike has a very squeaky chair.
Let me try the other one.
And he's going to try the other chair. And I'm still Chewy, and with me as always are, and that's a loud chair. With me as always are dorks. Dorks, sound off, I'm a mute.
Hey, I'm a dork, I'm Brian, and I'm a lead rambler, and I am definitely not an elephant.
And, I guess I'll go next, and I'm, Dirk, the self-proclaimed greenest man alive and moral compass of the group, and I really don't have anything catchy to say. I guess I'll take that one from Mike's rule book, to not have anything catchy to say.
Fair enough.
I'm Mike, I'm the rules guy and the game lore guy, and I'm not sure whether this chair is any more or less noisy, but I guess we'll find out.
It's true. Oh, by the way, Dirk and Brian, for the sake of the listeners, let us know if we are either too loud or not loud enough, because Mike is used to wearing a headset, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And mumbling. And I am used to having the mic much closer to my face and mumbling. So.
Also, let us know if there's an echo.
Yeah. You guys got that?
Yep.
Echo. Echo.
Lord.
Okay. Okay.
Stab Dirk. Okay. So.
Right.
We have some things and also some stuff. Gamescom happened this weekend in, it was in Germany? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. In Germany. How do you pronounce it? Is that pronounced Cologne?
Yes. Because
it looks like French.
Cologne.
But it's Germany.
Sorry.
Okay.
Cologne.
They're allowed to breed like that. It's okay.
Cologne.
That'd be the French version of the German city.
Did that make it better or worse?
Neither.
I don't know. So, yeah, Gamescom was this weekend in French Germany.
That's right.
And they released some stuff.
Yes.
So, first up, intro packs are changing. I think again. Are they changing back? Is this a thing that happened before?
This is not something that, I mean, they've changed them before, but they have not made this particular change, I think.
Oh, okay. So, intro packs, Khans of Tarkir, the foil cards that are associated with it, you know, the foil rare?
Yeah.
Are not just going to be shiny, but they're going to be shiny and have alternate art. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Well, it will be awesome.
I wonder, so, this might answer a question that's been bugging me. Because they said they're going to have 40 pre-release cards. Mm-hmm. Surely they're not going to have 40 cards with two different arts.
Why not? Why wouldn't the pre-release cards have alternate art?
Because there's 40 of them.
Okay.
No, I think I took that to mean that they were finally getting away from the intro packs as the pre-release rares. Maybe that's just my hope, my dream, my aspiration, but...
So the other question is, do you think there'll be different alternate arts, or do you think that 5 of these 40 cards are going to have 3 different alternate arts, or 3 different arts? Oh, stumped you. Yeah, look at you.
Well, I don't understand the question.
Different from...
There's 5 intro packs. They have different arts. There's one per thing. I don't understand the question.
Okay, so there's going to be 40 pre-release cards, right?
Yes.
One out of 8 in every seated booster. If those all have alternate art, then... Are these 5 pre-release cards going to be of those 40? If so, are they going to have a different alternate art for the intro pack version? And if not, that means there'll be 45 cards with alternate art.
What I'm going to assume, at least at this point until I hear otherwise, is that the pre-release cards will not have alternate art.
That was my thinking. And Mike is shrugging. Do you do that sitting in your apartment? Do you just shrug?
Yeah.
And do you then tell us?
But do you practice shrugging? That's the real question.
This is great. You want to sit on the couch? We can sit on the couch. We can cuddle.
Bad touch.
Okay, maybe not then. So, that is there. Why is this blinking? Oh, because Dirk had answered the phone. Ha! He was trying to be all stealthy about it, and I outed him. First, he yelled at his kids. Then he answered the phone. But who was phone?
What other insidious acts is this otherwise? You know.
Oh well, they showed us the alternate art for these intro pack rares, and
lots of elephants.
Yeah, this first one, which I'm going to take as the white one, is a great big elephant with a looks like it's carrying pulling behind it a great big cart with what looks like a palace type of thing on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
This see a big ass crossbow weapon. So
yeah, it's basically it's a big old battle like oliphant, kind like of like from siege, Lord of the Rings like a movie.
Siege tower, or yeah. Something. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. This reminds me more of like a mastodon type elephant versus like a loxodon. It's not really humanoid. It's more just what you think of as a big elephant.
Well, yeah, that's why I said elephant, not loxodon.
Well, loxodon can be considered elephant, so
that's racist. So what's
be like the Ice Age equivalent of a loxodon?
So, Lord, that is
well. Well, we've had mastodons before in Magic.
So this conversation is both enriching and worthwhile.
Mike, rules so, question.
So yeah, it's a big elephant with a city on top of it. It looks like it has a ballista, a couple ballista squads on it. Can you maybe tap it to deal damage to an attacking player, perhaps? Or attacking creature, since players can't attack.
I was so looking at the wrong picture.
But do you see the ballista squads? There's yeah, even yes. Two of them right there. You don't have to have two creatures. So.
Okay, so the next one.
Next one?
I'm going to guess is the blue one, is a thing.
Yeah, I can't remember what that other article said some of the new races were that they were introducing.
Oh, so they've talked about that. Okay.
Somewhere. I don't know if it was an article or something I heard at the panel when I watched the panel video or what.
Okay. So it's a thing with a face,
some horns.
Yeah, some downturned horns like a Skyrim helmet. And it's sort of levitating there and it's got his hands together with some energy around it.
We should get Sam to describe this.
I was just thinking that, Mike.
He's in bed now. But, is the emphasis on the creature or on the spell being cast? That's the thing. I mean, I guess it's the creature, because usually the intro pack rares are creatures. Yeah. Not all the time, but if it's the spell, then I don't know what it's doing. It's like, make this castle thing look kind of transparent, kind of, sort of...
Maybe I'll be like a ponder, but rare.
A rare ponder that does brainstorm
on a creature.
Buh.
That's broken.
Okay, what is next? What the hell is that?
That is a Rakshasa.
Yeah, it is.
Sure. What is a Rakshasa? What is it?
Shut your mouth.
A Rakshasa is a tiger-headed demon man. That you find in several South and Southeast Asian mythologies.
Like India and Tibet and whatnot?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Okay. It's cool looking, and it's got a giant axe. And it's the black one, but it doesn't look particularly, like, black, which I appreciate.
Well, all Rakshasas are very evil, so.
Not even kind of evil. They're very evil.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like damn.
So that's presumably the black one. And I really wish I could remember what this weapon's called. But he's holding...
It looks like the axe that Ajani carries around a little bit.
A little bit. But there is a name for that kind of axe.
Yeah, I can't remember that.
Axe.
Yeah. The next one, it's a ginger goblin. Look at him.
This looks to me like a Kithkin got with a cat. that's literally what it looks to me at, like.
I prefer Ginger Goblin.
And in that way, it does look kind of like the Hobgoblins from Shadowmoor and Eventide.
And I think if we jump ahead just slightly to the new art on Goblin Bombardment, it's that creature. Because I remember thinking that looked like a goblin, but then it had hair, and okay, maybe it's not a goblin. But we'll get to that.
It's a Braveheart Goblin. Freedom!
He's going to chuck his claymore. Just chuck it. But he's got cute little armor on one arm. Why has he only got armor on one side? He's not an archer. There's no bow. Weird. And then finally, there's...
This is the Ice Age Loxodon that Dirk was talking about earlier.
Yes. That statement makes a lot more sense now. This is an elephant man, which would be a Loxodon with a big stone axe and spiky shoulder guards, and he's in the snow. Duh. Look at him.
He's gonna make a snow elephant.
Wait. Oh, this confirms it. Snowlands will be in Khans of Tarkir, right?
Right. Yes, right here, yeah.
And Half-Life 3.
Yeah. And yes, lots of elephants.
And lots of elephants. That means my mom would like this set. Yeah. Okay, so that's that. Let's see, we'll skip over the two Yeah, because these are both in dual decks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll skip over those. Go to the commander preview. Look at this guy.
Yeah, we saw his sister Gisa a little while ago. And now we have Stitcher Gerolf, who's going to be in the blue commander deck.
Wait a minute, he has a sister?
Yeah, gold color.
Yes.
Is she hot?
Yes.
Really? Oh, like Brian?
Not exactly.
No, no. Has a hot sister like Brian, not is hot like Brian.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, hey. I don't know what I'm more offended by. I think I have a good idea.
No, actually, I think they stole the art for Stitcher Gaffer from Brian's profile, the picture that Jars did for us. Because Brian has the little monocle over one eye.
Oh, yeah. He has the lab maniac.
And wasn't Brian blue?
Yes.
Oh.
It's very suspicious.
I know. I smell copyright infringement. Brian?
All right. Well, somebody reads. You know what? I'm going to read Stitcher. How do you pronounce this?
Gaffer.
Like Gerolf.
Okay, that's Gerolf. Because it's not like Gerald with an F, because then it'd be Gerolf, and that just does not sound intimidating. Hey, Gerolf, go get me some coffee. But you don't drink coffee. Shut up, Gerolf. See, that's Gerolf, though. That sounds, ugh. Hey, Gerolf, what? Nothing. Anyway, so yeah, when we did this on Monday Night Magic last night, I wasn't there. I had to go get food. Remind me to tell you guys about the science food. It was amazing. So Stitcher Gerolf, for 3 blue-blue, is a 3/4 legendary human wizard. That is mythic. Mythic, not rare. Mythic rare. And for 2 blue and tap, okay, each player, oh, yeah. That's cool.
Each player
puts the top 3 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. So each player mills 3. Exile up to 2 creature cards put into graveyards this way. Okay. Put an XX blue zombie creature token onto the battlefield where X is the total power of the cards exiled this way.
See, well, this really,
cool.
Yeah. From a flavor perspective, this really fits with his profile versus his sister's. Like, she's more into the traditional black zombie, like, make a bunch of little zombies that are more the mono black zombies in Innistrad, and then you have the stitched together Frankenstein monsters represented by the blue zombies, and that's exactly what this guy is doing. He's like, all right, what are the best pieces I've got lying around? It reminds me a little bit of the Simic. Needs more crab.
Yeah, he's literally stapling a bunch of cool things together to make a huge zombie.
And from a gameplay perspective, I like it. I like the fact that it's each player. So you can set up your own, but also still mill everybody else. Oh, hey, look, I hit Mike's crazy dragon stuff in his dragon deck. Who would have thought that was going to happen, dragons? So, you know, woo.
Imagine dragons.
It'll be a little bit like playing the Mimeoplasm deck.
Oh.
Yeah.
So this is what, so I came back while they were at the end of their flavor discussion, and Clues or Bill or somebody said something about, oh, there's a leg left over, we'll just shove that in there. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? Nice. So this guy's really cool.
I like him.
He's a perfect compliment to a blue-black mill EDH deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really interesting with this set. They've made it clear that the legends are monocolored, so that means the decks themselves that they're building are monocolored decks, which is a bit interesting because you do see some monocolored EDH decks like Mike's. Who's that samurai? Who's that samurai?
Now I'm not going to tell you.
Fumiko.
Fumiko the Low Blood.
Fumiko the Lobot. It's
not easy.
It's like that. But Chewie has one. The Spirit of the Night.
Yeah.
And doesn't some, Mike, don't you also have a, what's his name?
Volrath the Fallen.
Yep. So, there's actually a lot out there, but I think for every one I can name probably like 10,
or in this case, you could actually not name any, but.
Sorry, that's me making fun of myself. But I just like how this is an interesting direction. Although all the EDH products they put over the last couple of years have been multicolored. So I like this direction. It's interesting. Yeah.
What he said.
Charles.
Okay, then. But that is not all that they revealed at the Gamescom in French Germany. And I just hurt myself. Somebody else talk for a minute.
That is not all they revealed. They also revealed two preview cards from Cons of Tarkir, and you'll actually be finding these in Dual Decks Speed versus Cunning, because they do this now where they'll seed some of the Dual Decks with cards from the new set. You remember back from Return to Ravnica, you had in Izzet versus Golgari, you saw things like the Izzet Charm that hadn't been released yet, and Jerrod. And then in last year's Heroes versus Monsters, we saw Polychronos. And here, we've got a red card and a blue card. So...
Well, we've got more than that, actually.
Do we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at these two on this page. I know there were more revealed, but these were the two.
Go to the other page.
Go to the other page. Go into the other page. Woo! Woo! Hey, look.
So, for those of you following along in the show notes, if you go to the Dual Decks Speed versus Cunning feature article by Blake Rasmussen, he irons out, or he reveals the full deck lists and a few, that's some, of the new cards. And a couple of new mechanics, too, which are both really cool. Yeah. Hey, Mike, read that one.
All right, the red one is a Mardu Heart Piercer, and he's an uncommon human archer for 3 and a red. He's a 2/3, and he has the raid ability word. So because it's an ability word, that means, you know, usually the same circumstances will set it off, but it doesn't work exactly the same. It doesn't do the exact same thing every time. So his raid ability says, when Mardu Heart Piercer enters the battlefield, if you attacked with a creature this turn, Mardu Heart Piercer deals 2 damage to target creature or player. Which is really good, actually.
That is freaking awesome.
Two damage is good stuff.
So let's say you have a big-ass dragon that you're going to swing with anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can shock something.
Yes.
Let's say you have a stupid goblin token that you don't care about. Now you can shock something.
I think I was discussing this with Chewy a while ago, and I mentioned that I like how you don't actually have to connect with the player. That's the distinguishing thing between this and, is it Bloodlust? Bloodthirst? Bloodthirst. You know, you can just, like you can attack with whatever. You can attack with a Mutavault or whatever. Although not in standard because Mutavault's leaving. Ha 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 ha. Take that, control decks. And then you still get this trigger.
Right. Definitely not Bloodthirst, but it does something similar in that it teaches people to wait until their second main to play creatures.
Yes.
Which is just generally good information to have.
Usually.
It encourages players to play quote-unquote correctly.
Right. There are many reasons to play your creatures in your first main, but if you don't have any of those reasons, you probably shouldn't.
Yeah. Evolve is a good recent example.
Evolve is a damn fine reason to play a creature first, yes. But, I mean, Bloodthirst is a good reason not to. I can't think of it. Oh, Haste is a good reason to play your creatures first.
Yes, it is.
And not giving away plenty of information is a good reason not to. So, yeah! You know, we went on for a long time about this on Monday Night Magic, but I don't know why. Because it's really straightforward.
It's a 2/3 for 4, which, I mean, is good. That's going to pass the vanilla test like every time, but...
No, it isn't. A 2/3 for 4 does not pass the vanilla test at all.
Okay. Well, I mean, especially in limited, you know, sometimes you just need to play a guy. But then if you get the raid, that's just awesome.
Yeah. I mean, worse than Hill Giant is not going to pass the vanilla test, but the raid ability is very good.
I misspoke, and by misspoke, I mean I was completely wrong. But, you know.
So, this is, you can tell from the name, Mardu Heart Piercer. This is the Mardu mechanic. Mardu is...
How do you Mardu?
The wings.
That Mardu that you do.
Yeah, Mardu is the wings, and they're...
Oh yeah, that's the Zergos clan.
Yeah, the red, white, black clan, or wedge, or bigs.
I guess we'll start calling it Mardu, but until we've actually played with it, it's like, hey, have you checked out that Mardu deck? What?
Yeah, I'm trying real hard to, now that they're actually showing cards, to learn these, and I'm failing. But that's okay.
We'll get it eventually.
Eventually. Just in time for us to stop caring. I mean, they're not going to stop using Bug and Rug no matter how much we want them to in deck lists, so whatever.
Got much junk in the trunk.
So that's the red guy with Raid. Raid is awesome. I can't wait to see what's like a rare Raid character does. Oh my god. You know what would be awesome? One that's threatened. So that would be terrible.
I was thinking Relentless Assault.
Of course you were thinking Relentless Assault. You're Mike.
What am I not? You're
practically obligated to think of Relentless Assault.
That is actually Mike's approach to most aspects of life. It's like, hey, Mike, you want food? Ah! Anyway. That's why he's wearing the brightly colored shirt, actually. Let's see. So, okay, let's skip that one. Scroll down to the Jeskai Elder. It's got another clan-specific mechanic.
Okay. Jeskai Elder. For one and a blue, it's a 1/2 human monk. It's an uncommon. It has a Thieving Magpie type effect. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. So it's a loot. And then the mechanic that it has is Prowess. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, this creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn. I'm guessing this tribe likes, you know, its non-creature spells.
Yeah, and Jeskai, their symbol is the Eye of the Dragon, and this is the one with the mechanic where when they were talking about it during the panel, you're constantly wondering what that person is up to.
Yeah.
What they have going on. Because all of a sudden, their guys could get, whoop, bigger.
Yeah, I mean, prowess on one creature is all right, but if you've got, like, three dudes with prowess out and you cast a Ponder, that's badass. So, yeah, for every creature with prowess out, then more betterer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The more betterer off you are. What color is Jeskai?
Jeskai, I believe, is...
Oh, that's Murica.
Is it?
Yeah, it's red, white, blue, because Lightning Angel is also in there the deck. Go. So that's the, let's see, red, white, blue. What is the anchor color of that? Is it white?
Well, the anchor color of the wedge is red, but the anchor color of the clan is blue.
So, okay, blue. Yeah. Okay. I haven't quite figured out how they figured that out yet. My brain hurts.
Yeah, it's going to take me some getting used to.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because rather than going with the central color in the wedge, they went with one of the ends.
Right.
And that bothers me.
And maybe that'll make sense when the weird block structure and the time travel thing and whatever is finally revealed.
Hopefully.
I like it, but I agree. It's harder to pin down. It'll take some getting used to.
So let's see. Hey, Dirk.
Yes.
You want to read that other blue creature that's right up above that?
It's a rare.
Oh, the Thousand Winds.
Oh, yeah.
For 4 and 2 blue, it's a 5/6 rare elemental with flying. It has morph for 5 and 2 blue. And it says, when Thousand Winds is turned face up, return all other tapped creatures to their owner's hands.
This thing.
All other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you're swinging with your morph dude, it doesn't actually help, because it's not like you're removing blockers.
No, but if you had attacked with it and decided not to flip it up, you know, if your opponent does something during their turn, then whoop.
Yeah, like attack you.
Oh, okay, yeah. That makes sense.
That's actually kind of awesome.
Yeah, this is like a really awesome Aetherize effect that leaves you with a 5/6.
Yeah, the
and they don't even have to be attacking. You know, they can be tapped to, like, draw a card or something. So,
or Convoke.
What?
Or Convoke. That is a good
or point. Convoke. Hmm. Or Inspire stuff or, you know, any number of things.
Yeah. The example I used when we recorded Monday Night Magic last night was if you're the control deck and you stalled and you stalled and you stalled and your opponent has finally got a chance to break through and he Alpha Strikes you. Whoops. Mm-hmm. I guess got this Thousand Winds here. Oh.
And again, 5/6. Elemental. And sometimes elementals, you know, that's a very interesting grouping to be in. Because sometimes they get love and sometimes they don't, but.
Yeah, we'll see.
Horde of Notions.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Horde of Notions needed love.
The only other new cards they've shown are lands. And much to nobody's surprise, they are doing the wedge lands just like they did the shard lands. And thanks.
Because that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Everyone was all surprised or like, oh my god, look what they're doing. Well, no kidding, it's what they're doing. Shut up.
Of course it's what they're doing. That doesn't mean they're not awesome.
Yeah, they're totally awesome. And they have great non-setting specific names. So, just like the original batch, so they can maybe ever be reprinted, maybe.
Yeah. They might show up in Corsets, who knows?
I mean, just because we haven't seen the Shardlands anywhere yet. What did we call the Shards before they were Shards? Wedges have always been wedges, but what did we call the Shards?
Domains, or...
Or maybe we just called them wedges because we had shards as a name. Now we needed something to call the other three color bearings.
I think, I don't know why we called them wedges. I had never heard that word before until well after. Yeah. Until like the first round of the commander decks were released. I never heard the word wedge before.
Really?
I don't think I had.
Huh. What hole you living in?
This one? Well, the one across town.
I was going to say, this is my hole.
Welcome to my hole. Wow. So there's Mystic Monastery. Which tribe did we say this was?
Jeskai.
That is a Jeskai tribe.
Gonna have to learn these. Jeskai. You know, enters the battlefield tap, add a blue, a red, or a white to your mana pool, and Nomad Outpost, which can add a red, a white, or a black, also known as a Kalia.
Also known as Mardu. Mardu!
It might be easier for me to start remembering these if I go by the clan symbols. That might be how I'd start out doing this.
Oh, now, yeah.
Mike, that's what they want you to do.
I wonder how they're going to show the vigilance.
Huh?
Wasn't that one of them like dragon's vigilance or steadfastness or something stupid like that?
Yeah, their symbol is a scale. A dragon scale.
Oh, did they already show the
symbols? Yeah, they always show the symbols.
Oh, never mind then. I'm just an idiot. Don't mind me.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Chewie, and I'm
okay.
And there's a tooth and a claw.
Oh, so they're going to have a finnet.
Yes.
Okay. That'd be...
No, nobody ever played those.
Yeah, except when they did, and then you died from it, and you swore at it.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? Why are you playing that? Oh, wait, I'm dead.
Yeah. So, okay. So now let's talk about the dual decks themselves. Where in the blue hill are the... Oh, they're at the bottom. God almighty.
Are they?
Yes. Yep.
So, Speed, which is the one with Zergo Helm Smasher, which is apparently a Mardu deck. Mardu deck. It doesn't sound like a real word. Mardu deck. Anyway, it's, well,
mahogany.
It's
mahogany.
Mahogany. They need to hurry up and do more episodes, damn it.
They're getting ready to do another one. Kaiser's actually been really sick, so.
Oh, good. Yeah. And this is just Team 4-star update. So, yeah, the dual decks, the speed deck is, I don't know, it looks like fun.
Yeah, it's got a Hell's Thunder in there, and that's fun.
Yeah, yeah. Rares. Hell's Thunder, the 4-4 hay, flying haste for 3
guys. He's unearthed.
At the end of turn, you sacrifice him, and he has unearthed. That's pretty awesome. What's another rare? The,
Krenko, mob boss.
Oh, Krenko.
Krenko.
Where is Krenko?
Right above the
battle. Oh, right above, okay, there, yeah. So Krenko is here, the guy who taps to give you goblin creatures that double your goblins.
Mm-hmm.
That's awful. Ogre Battle Driver, who is a in the Web of War on legs, which in this deck is freaking great. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, that creature gets +2/+0 in haste until end of turn. With Krenko, and Krenko's command, and what is it? Cathari Bomber. And there's another one, the Beetle something, Beetleback Chief? Yeah. You're gonna get a fair number of goblin tokens. That are gonna be 3/1s with haste, and that's awful. What's another rare?
Fury of the Horde.
No, the Horde.
That's a Dragon Force song.
Nah, that should be a card in Hearthstone.
It probably should. What is, I don't even know Fury of the Horde. What is this? Oh, it's
it's just one of the Cold Snap double pitch cards.
Yeah, it's a Cold Snap double pitch Relentless Assault.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so double pitch. For those who don't know, it costs 5 red to untap all creatures that attack this turn. After this main phase, there is an additional combat phase followed by an additional main phase. Or you can exile... What? That says... Oh, it's the Cold Snap version. Okay. You can exile 2 red cards from your hand rather than pay 5 red. So you're pitching 2 cards. That's what Mike meant. Old school. Oh, look, Banefire. God, I loved Banefire back in the day. Banefire is a blaze... so it deals X damage to target creature or player and costs X and a red. And if X is 5 or more, it can't be countered by spells or abilities, and the damage can't be prevented. Banefire's awesome.
Ah.
Kaboom, baby.
And there's more. Why? So this came up last night. Why is Hellraiser Goblin over here in Other when he is clearly a creature that already exists?
I don't know. I wondered about that.
Okay.
He shouldn't be over there.
He really shouldn't. What else is in this deck? So there's a fair number of goblins, some... Is that an infantry veteran, really?
Yes.
Really?
It's okay.
It's fine. Okay. Tap. Target attacking creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn. I guess this is all about speed. And he's a one drop.
Yeah.
At least he's not a glory seeker.
And, and he's got a messed up face. Probably from tangling with a glory seeker. Let's see, there's more goblins. Oh, look, a goblin war chief.
Like, those goblins out faster.
I don't actually know how to describe this deck. It's just
goblin generation.
Just a rush deck.
But there's nothing, like, it's not a goblin rush deck, because there aren't enough goblins to call it that. Wow. That's really loud. Why is that so loud? So are those houses or apartments back there? Yeah, the houses back behind our apartment complex, sometimes they like to play music very, very loudly. And Scott just opened his bedroom door and walked out here, and the music was so loud that I'm surprised you guys didn't hear it. Good lord. Okay, so what were we just talking about? That completely threw me, I apologize.
That it isn't a goblin rush deck. It's just a three-color weenie rush deck.
Yeah,
What
is this? Oh, it's a new card, Dauntless Onslaught. I don't know that symbol. I did not learn anything about Theros Blood. Is that Theros, or is that one of the others?
No, it's Theros.
Okay. Oh, and it's also got Goblin Bombardment, which has new art, which is clearly, like, I, at least in my mind, it looks just like the weird goblin thing from the alternate art intro pack thing. Doesn't it?
Yes.
Or it looks like a gremlin. Maybe it's Stripe. because Gizmo came from the old Asian man, and this is an ancient Asian-themed set? Mongolian? Mongol hordes?
And sure.
Sounds good.
I never watched Gremlins all the way through.
Because it was Gremlins terrifying. 2.
Gremlins 2 was much better.
I'm going to have to call y'all on that. It was funnier. It was weird. Like,
better.
Like it was... The first Gremlins was like a parody of horror movies. It was a horror comedy, but to my young self, it scared the hell out of me. It took me a long time to actually watch it all the way through. Anyway, what else? Oh, look, there's a Gitu Encampment in this deck, too. That's the 2/1 first striking man land.
Yeah, I like Gitu Encampment.
Yeah, Gitu Encampment is awesome. Did you know there are only 17 lands with the native ability to turn into a creature? You're running through them, aren't you?
No, I'm just thinking about whether or not I would have expected it to be more or less.
I would have expected more. Really? Calvin from Commander Cast, Captain Red Zone, sent me a message randomly about that, and I was like, hang on a minute, and I pulled up Gatherer.
So that's just 3 cycles and 2 outliers? Is that right?
No, there's 2 cycles and then 7 outliers.
Oh, okay.
There's the one color ones with the Gitu Encampment and the...
Yeah.
The ape. What is that?
Treetop Village.
Treetop Village. Those. There's the 2 color ones from Zendikar?
Zendikar Block, yeah.
Yeah. And those are the cycles. Everything else, there's Blink Moth Nexus, Ink Moth Nexus, Mistress Factory.
Mutavault. Stalking Stones,
the Dread Statuary or Sanctuary or something, the one that turns into 4/2.
Yeah.
And then one more that I'm forgetting. And that bothers me now that I don't know. And it's killing you, I can see it in your face. I like having Mike here. Mike, don't fix your internet, just come hang out here to record. But anyway, so yeah, Goblin Bombardment, which is an enchantment for 1 and a red, sacrifice a creature. Goblin Bombardment deals 1 damage to target creature or player. That is, it's pretty awesome. Somebody keeps trying to build legacy decks around it. I think it's Sam Black. He had a lot of success with it out of the blue for several months.
Hey, it's that good. A
couple years ago. Yeah, it's freaking awesome. There's no mana cost, so you don't need anything else. There's no mana cost. Brian and Dirk seem to have stopped, so you think we should move on?
Well, I'm looking at the stats on, and it's, the bulk of the deck is, 1, 2, 3, and 4 cast. There's a grand total of 5 cards that are greater than that. So yeah, this is put them out quickly and smash them quick.
Yeah.
Which again plays into what the theme of the deck is with speed. That this deck is not meant to be a drawn out deck. I think in the long run, this deck probably will get smashed. Like in a drawn-out game.
Yeah. So, let's move on to Cunning, which is the Jeskai deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It has Arcanus the Omnipotent as the fancy card.
Yeah. With Smoke and New Art that, for some reason, I don't think appears in this article. Does it? No. But it's got Smoke and New Art. Makes, there he is. Makes him look more badass. Because he always looked kind of badass, but not badass enough for how badass he actually is. See, he's going to be Batman in Brian's deck, and look at that. Yeah. It's more like the Phantasm, but whatever.
I'm Batman.
Yeah. So the Cunning deck is a blue, white, red tempo deck, pretty much. Let's see. Rares.
Arcanus the Omnipotence, the beginning.
All right, look at that.
And Sphinx of Uthun.
The system is dead. There's also Lightning Angel, who is a blast from the past. 3/4 Flying Vigilance Haste for 1 red, white, blue. Whew. That was killer back in the day.
Yeah.
And I mean that literally, that was a killer back in the day. What else? There's a Steam Augury, which is commonly referred to as not Factor Fiction.
Impulse.
Yeah, I don't know if Impulse is going to be...
No, Impulse would... Impulse is a... I'm pretty sure it's natively a common. There's, it's just showing the From the Vault 20 art for some reason.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, with that art that doesn't go with Impulse.
Hold the line. Hold the line.
Still?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I mean, it's all those creatures, so...
Okay, fine.
It's a pretty massive effect.
It's a blowout when done correctly, so...
Yeah.
And I guess against the speed deck, it's probably pretty awesome.
Hmm. You already said Steam Augury?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, the not Factor Fiction.
Steam Augury trips me out. Like, I want it to be good, but it's just not.
It isn't.
it's like they fixed Factor Fiction, and when you fix Factor Fiction, you actually broke it. Because if it's not broken, then it sucks. Right? Is that right?
I think that's how the saying goes.
If it ain't broke, it's worthless. So yeah, this deck has lots of tap effects and lots of lockdown effects and it's a tempo deck. I mean, you know, it's got Coral Trickster and it's got a Willbender. I love Willbender.
Master Decoy.
It's got a Master Decoy. It's got Echo Tracer, Core Hook Master, Stone Cloaker. What does that do?
Not a tempo card.
Oh, it exiles a card from a graveyard, but it also resets one of your...
And it has flesh.
One of your dudes, yeah, because it rescues something. Dude, Lightning Angel.
Has Repeal.
It's got lots of flash dudes, too.
Repeal has neat new art.
Oh, Repeal. The new art on Repeal is pretty sweet. Where is it? There it is. It's a... I can't actually tell what's going on here.
Some wizard's making a guy disappear.
Looks like it might be a roaring Primadox, which would be funny, because he bounces things. Say it,
actually, that would if this deck was running green, it probably would be in here, because you've got a bunch of cards that have inner battlefield effects.
It's true.
Because the Spark Mage, Apprentice, Lone Missionary.
All the morph creatures.
Fathom. Yeah, I was reading a couple of them.
Yeah, the Fathom Seer, the Willbender. Like I said, all the morph creatures, Coral Trickster, all have an effect.
Horn Hookmaster.
Yeah, putting these morph creatures with turn face up triggers back in your hand is still a good thing, because then you can play them face down again.
Yeah.
It's not the same as Enters a Battlefield ability, but it's close-ish.
Sure. So yeah, like I was saying, Repeal, for those that don't know, was ridiculous back in the day. It was a common originally?
Yeah.
Oh, God. For X and a blue, it's an instant, return target non-land permanent with converted mana cost X to its owner's hand, and draw a card. This thing was killer in controlled X in its original heyday in the original Ravnica block. What is that, Guild Pact?
Yeah, Guild Pact.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all over the place. So it's nice to see it getting a little bit of love with some new art, some new awesomeness. And there's a Lightning Helix. Yay!
They really like putting Lightning Helix in dual decks.
Because it's awesome. Oh, look, there's a Mana Leak, too. Huh. So, yeah. So, the speed deck wants to run up and kill you real quick before you can do anything. And the Cunning deck... I mean, it looks like the Cunning deck is just designed to be on the back foot, and that's where it likes it. It's there to stay alive. Stay alive. Run you out of cards, and then take over.
So, which of these decks do you think would mercilessly crush the other in practice? That's usually how it seems to be between the dual deck.
I don't know. I mean, Dirk's right. If the speed deck doesn't win quickly, it's not going to win. So, I can't call it without actually playing it. This one might be too close to call.
Yeah. I don't see anything that just jumps out to me and says that this is going to win. Like, I can't even say that this deck will win in the long game. Because there's, aside from the Sphinx, there's really not a lot of, like, and maybe the Angel. There's nothing that's sort of the heavy hitter that's going to, like Ulamog or something like that, that's going to come in and be like, okay, game's done. Once this enters the battlefield, game's done.
I mean, you can't, what was I going to say? You can't underestimate a 3-3 flash flying creature like Fairy Invaders. They can wrap up a game really quick once you get ahead. It's got a fair number of flyers, actually. Oh, and there's the Thousand Winds. Don't forget him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Cunning deck just has a whole lot of good removal. And good removal that is specifically good against the speed deck. And I'm also counting, you know, all its several flash creatures that Chewy already mentioned. Because each of them is more than able to eat one of the speed deck's attackers as it comes down.
That's true.
They're not just going to bounce off.
Prime. Okay. Well, I think we might be done with the dual decks. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
That seems to be the case.
Hey, Brian's back. Do you have anything to talk about?
No, I agreed with you guys. Sorry, I had a call from a client, and then Carrie came in and wanted to talk to me about something. I'm going to have to say
we don't care. Do you have anything you want to say?
No.
Okay. So, this had to get cut from episodes a couple weeks ago, so I'm going to use it now. Quick musical break. This is... I forgot what it's called. Is it still on my desktop somewhere? I think it's called Dragon Lair.
Oh, you didn't get to use it last time?
Nope, I cut it out.
Oh.
Yeah, there it is. It's called Dragon Lair. It is from the original Shadowgate game on the NES. And the composer is Hiroyuki Masuno. And Shadowgate on the NES was a first-person point-and-click adventure where you just constantly died all the time, just died.
All the time, especially if your name was Brian.
Yeah.
I don't think I got past
the first. Through about two screens, I think.
About two screens.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we talked about this last time, so yeah. I died a lot.
Yeah. So there you go, and anyone who's played it will recognize the dragon music, because it'll terrify you. So, watch out for the eyes at the end of the hallway. Be sure that you pick up the shield at some point, or else you'll die. And there you go, enjoy that, and we'll be right back. Yay, Dagrons. They're coming for you, Mike. Okay. Mike's just looking at me. It's kind of creepy.
It's okay. They don't know where to find him.
Thank goodness. So, we have some requests from at least a few, several, almost a year ago.
Yeah, October and November, specifically.
Yeah. To do some story circles with specific creatures.
Has it really been that long? You're not kidding, are you?
No, I'm not kidding. The one I'm looking at is November. So... Craig Scott goes, hey, why don't you do Ulasht the Hate Seed? Ulasht? Ulasht.
I say Ulasht, but I don't know if that's right.
Goulash.
Goulash. Ah.
We're, okay, gather.
Gatherer.
So, I'm going to look up Ulasht real quick and read him.
Ulasht the Hate Seed enters the battlefield with +1/+1 counter on it for each other red creature you control and a +1/+1 counter on it for each other green creature you control. For one and remove a +1/+1 counter from Ulasht, choose one. Ulasht deals one damage to target creature, or put a 1/1 green sapperling creature token onto the battlefield.
And he costs two a red and a green, and is a 0/0.
And a Hydra.
A creature Hellion Hydra. Huh, how about that? He's a Hellion now.
Yeah, I think it's just because of the art they gave him the Hellion type. Because he has the weird Hellion head face thing.
So, I guess we'll do a story circle around that. Because Craig said, hey, why don't you do that? And we said, yeah, it's a good idea. And then, less than a year later, bonus.
We're not, you know, setting the bar too high or anything here. Let's not go crazy.
So, gentlemen, how do we want to do this? Anybody got any ideas right off the bat? Guess not. I know I don't. Mike's gonna see how I do this when I, when I have, a story circle. I have to go together and search for things.
I have a couple ideas, but I feel like they're almost a little too, you know, obvious. And I'm not saying I have to be contrary all the time. I'll start off with something that's very simple, very basic. Scatter the seeds. I know it's just what everybody expects, but you know, sometimes we've got a bit of theme here. Let's go with that theme. So scatter the seeds. We've talked about it actually quite a few times lately because of Convoke. So I'm not going to tell you what it does. Okay, for 3 and 2 green, it's an instant with Convoke. Get 3 saps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, not blowing anybody's world here, but...
So, who's next?
I was thinking Warstorm Surge, which is the pandemonium just for you. So, for a red and 5, it's an enchantment, and whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, you can have it deal damage equal to its power to something.
Sweet.
That's pretty sick.
For me, I decided that I would go the Hydra route, seeing as this is a Hydra and everything. And the one that came to mind, it was one of the challenges from one of the duel, the Planeswalker games, and it's Primordial Hydra. For X and 2 green, it's a 0/0 Hydra, and Primordial Hydra enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it. At the beginning of your upkeep, double the number of +1/+1 counters on Primordial Hydra. Primordial Hydra has trample as long as you have 10 or more +1/+1 counters on it.
Cool.
That's that.
I like it.
I had something when I scrolled through this the first time, and now I'm not seeing it. Oh, so I'm going to go with one of my perennial favorite green EDH cards, the Nakadal Warpride.
Hey, sweet.
Because Nakadal Warpride is ridiculous. For 3 and 3 green, it's a Cat Warrior 3/3. It must be blocked by exactly one creature if able. That's important. And whenever Nakadal Warpride attacks, you put X tokens that are copies of Nakadal Warpride onto the battlefield tapped and attacking, where X is the number of creatures defending player controls. Exile the tokens at the beginning of the next end step. So because you get another main phase before they disappear, you can throw down a much bigger Ulasht, which I like.
Yeah.
Because basically, Nakadal Warpride says, block all of these, one of them's going to get through along with everything else that you attacked with. So, it's pretty awesome.
And if a lot of the tokens live, they can charge up Ulasht if you play them later in the turn.
Exactly. So there you go. And I dropped the mouse on the floor.
Ah!
I need to search for something.
Oh, you need to search for something? Okay. Hang on, I'll mute. Brian, your turn.
Well, I figure, you know, Dirk kind of went in one way, and we're going the red-green here because that's the commander. So, Apocalypse Hydra. It's a mythic rare from Conflux. It's a 0/0. It costs a red, a green, and an X. It enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it. If X is 5 or more, it comes into play with an additional X counters on it. Cause awesome. Pay 1 and a red and remove a counter from +1/+1 counter from it. It deals 1 damage to target creature or player. Yeah. That's a spicy meatball right there. Everybody else like it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry, we were
moving. Okay, sweet. Yeah.
Oh, crap, I didn't write mine down. Mine was Nakadal Warpride. What was yours, Brian?
Apocalypse Hydra.
Hydra, that's the one. All right. Mike is up next. What you got, Mike?
And my idea was Rally the Horde, which is a really, really bad, it actually is very bad, but I think it could be cool here. Rally the Horde is a red sorcery way back from, Saviors of Kamigawa, and it's rare, so you know it's bad after hearing all that, but it costs, 5 and 1 red. Exile the top card of your library. What the crap? Oh, I wow. They really had to move. They really had to do some weird stuff to the Oracle text here. Okay. It says, this is the Oracle text. Exile the top card of your library. Exile the top card of your library. Exile the top card of your library. If the last card exiled isn't a land, repeat this process. And then you get a 1/1 red warrior token on the battlefield for each non-land card exiled this way.
What did it say originally?
It originally said, just remove, exile the top 3 cards of your library.
And if the last one isn't a land, do it again.
Yeah, the problem is, if you do them all at the same time,
then technically
there's no way to distinguish which one was last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's awful, Mike. That is genuinely crap.
Congratulations. We all hate you.
But you could get a lot of warriors.
I guess. So, hey, Dirk, you're next.
So, when I was looking through, I'm trying not to muck up the mess and everything, so I decided to go with Volt Charge. For 2 and a red, it's an instant. Volt Charge deals 3 damage to target creature or player. Proliferate.
Nice.
With there being tokens and everything, proliferate. Blah. Proliferate is an ability back from
Mirrodin Blood. Scars Blood.
Mirrodin, yeah, Scars of Mirrodin. And it says you choose any number of permanents and or players with counters on them, then give each another counter of a kind already there. So with the Hydras having +1/+1 counters on them, you essentially double. You give them another counter, isn't it? It's not that you double it, it's you just give them another counter.
Yeah, one more.
So the Hydras would get bigger. What I was originally thinking of doing, Contagion Clasp, but that gives -1/-1 counters, and I didn't want to muck things up.
but it doesn't put them on your stuff.
No, and it actually allows you to tap it and do proliferate.
Yeah.
At will. But my worry was that, what was it that's in the rules that you actually have to keep up with, that you can't just say the +1/+1, -1/-1 counter each other. You actually have to keep up with them.
No, it's the opposite. It used to be that you had to keep up with everything separately, but now they cancel each other out.
Oh, okay.
I see what you're saying, that you didn't want to start messing things up. But.
Yeah, well, my concern was that because there were -1/-1 counters, when you proliferate, that means it doubles the -1/-1 counters. So actually you, if something got stuck on something else, it anyway. If something had +1/+1 counters and -1/-1 counters, you double both.
Well, except you're not doubling, you're just adding one.
Right.
Right.
But essentially they'd cancel each other out.
I don't think any of us actually understand what Dirk is saying. Dirk included.
So. Yeah, I know. it was a question. It was a thing back in the old day. I think it's not a problem anymore.
Let's just leave it there. In the old day.
Yeah. So I put both
in the olden time.
I put the charge and the contagion clasp down because it's funnier that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that actually leads into my next pick. Is it my turn?
No, it's not your turn, you impatient bastard. I had another one that dealt with number of creatures, and I scrolled, and now I forgot which one. Oh, Craterhoof Behemoth.
Oh.
We're gonna have a horde of little dudes. Why not have a finisher that'll, you know, finish? So Craterhoof Behemoth, costs 5 and 3 green. He's a 5/5 with haste. He was a mythic from Avacyn Restored. He's a beast. He has haste. When he enters the battlefield, creatures you control gain trample and get +X/+X until end of turn, where X is the number of creatures you control. So, 8 mana, kill everything. Seems good. Okay. Nothing? Anybody?
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was told it wasn't my turn a second ago, so now it's my turn. Well, if we're doing tokens, let's do tokens. So I'm going to say Dual Nature, and nobody but Mike, and maybe Chewy is going to know what I'm talking about. Mike knows what I'm talking about.
Is that the creature half of Doubling Season? Or is that something
else? No. All right, for 4 and 2 green, it's an enchantment. It's a rare from Prophecy. This is the Oracle text. Whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield, its controller puts a token that's a copy of that creature onto the battlefield. Whenever a non-token creature leaves the battlefield, exile all tokens with the same name as that creature. When Dual Nature leaves the battlefield, exile all tokens put onto the battlefield with Dual Nature.
So the game is like Staying World.
I'm looking forward to, you know, making copies of the Hate Seed with, you know, their own tokens and counters and tokens and whatnot.
Good lord.
Now, obviously, it doesn't copy your tokens, because that would be dumb. So it doesn't have synergy with everything, but I think it's pretty nifty. I thought about doubling season. I'm like, no, I'll let somebody else name that.
Yeah, that's an obvious one. That's basically part of the land base.
Yeah. Tis true.
So, Mike, I think you're up.
Yeah, I'll follow up with Dirk's suggestion and join the proliferate train and add Plague Maw to the list here.
Okay. He's jumping on the train.
Plague Maw is for 3 and 2 green. He's a 3/3, and I think he's a beast. And his ability is tap, sacrifice, creature, proliferate. Since we're making a bunch of tokens, he's definitely going to have plenty to eat.
And that's delicious. Plague Maw. I need to see this. I don't actually know what this is.
I think you'll recognize it when you see it.
I mean, it's got now I can't say it. It's got Plague Maw, so it's not called Plague Maw.
You sure? Is it one word?
It's one word. Plague Maw.
Plague Maw Beast.
Plague Maw Beast. Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, screw up the name.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Oh, is he bigger than I thought? Is he a 4/3?
He's a 4/3.
Okay, even better than I thought. Awesome.
For 5. Okay, that's weird. Dirk, what you got?
With the Hydra making lots of little sapperling tokens and everything, I thought I'd go that route again. So there's actually several cards that go that. So I'm going to pick just 2, and I'll do 1 this time, 1 another. The first one is Fists of Ironwood. So it's an enchantment for 1 and a green. When you equip it to a creature, the creature gets trample, but you also get 2 1/1 green sapperling tokens in addition. So something simple, because the Hydra doesn't have trample. So even if you make the guy big, he can't trample. The Fist of Ironwood makes him trample. And gives you guys.
Yeah, it sounds pretty simplistic, but Fist of Ironwood is actually a very strong card.
Mm-hmm. I've put it on, it's in the enchantment deck, and you guys, whenever that shows up, yeah, that's the exact sound everyone gives, like, oh no.
All right. My next one is another Hydra, because Hydra, Hail Hydra. Colonian Hydra. For 3 and 2 green, it's a 0/0 mythic Hydra from M14 with trample. It enters the battlefield with 4 +1/+1 counters on it. And whenever Colonian Hydra attacks, you double the number of +1/+1 counters on each creature you control. Woo! Which seems fine.
I remember that when that was in M14, and like I sold mine right away to somebody at the pre-release, not sold, traded, not for monies, and got some nice stuff for it, and the guy was like, yeah, this is going to be great, and there was always rumors that it was going to really take off, especially with the Jund decks, and for like one hot minute, it was big, and then it disappeared, but you know what? Still does an awesome job here, so I like it. Do we want to go 1 more round, or 2 more rounds, or...
2.
2 more?
I've got my 2 cards.
No, Dirk's ready to go, so that's why. Okay, well,
quick,
for one of mine,
steal one of Dirk's.
Okay, is one of Dirk's Splinter Twin?
No.
So far, we don't have any like infinite shenanigans, and that's good by me. But I like this for 2 and 2 red, and you know, if you play Modern, then you already know what this is. But it's an enchantment. It's an aura enchant creature. Enchanted creature has tap. Put a token that's a copy of this creature onto the battlefield. That token has haste. Exile at the beginning of the next end step. Yay, tokens. Now, these tokens don't stick around, but hey, if you're making tokens of big guys, then that's awesome. And tokens that, you know, of things like hate seeds that can then spew their little counters everywhere.
Ew.
That's gross.
So, Mike? Person.
Yeah, I'm trying. It's
Jimbo.
It's difficult not being able to have Gatherer in front of me and doing stuff. If I want to search on something, I have to ask Chewy for it.
Oh, well,
he's
what do you
busy doing other stuff. Can you search for Garrix? I can't remember which one I'm thinking of.
Yes,
Garrix Pack with
Garrix.
Not quite that one.
Bah.
Let's see, which one am I thinking of? Load faster.
Or don't load at all! That'd be fine, too. No, seriously, Gather. I was kidding. Here we go.
Okay, this is the one I want. Garrick Primal Hunter. Yeah, he's the one from M13 for 3 green and 2. He starts at 3. His plus 1 is you get a 3/3 beast. Minus 3, draw cards equal to the greatest power among creatures you control. And then minus 6, you get a 6/6 worm token for each land you control.
That's cool. Which one was that? Primal Hunter.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of them, so I've been going down the Sapperling token path, but the other ability was that he deals damage if it's, the other is that he gets to deal damage. So one of the best artifacts, or one of the best, damage dealing cards that I've seen, it's expensive to play, but if you can get it out, it's just a beautiful thing. And that's Darkblood. So for 3 and 2 reds, so it's expensive.
Dirk, what was that again?
Arcblade.
Huh.
I thought you said it was an artifact.
No, he said Arcblade.
No.
Okay.
Arcblade. So for 3 and 2 red, it's a sorcery. Arcblade deals 2 damage to target creature or player. Exile Arcblade with 3 time counters on it. And it has suspend of 3 for 2 and a red. So
it's a repeating shock every 3 turns.
Exactly.
So that was the 2 damage?
Yeah.
Wow, that's not as good as I thought.
Well,
I thought it was 3 for some reason.
But it's expensive, but yeah, I'm just making excuses.
Well, you're thinking it was 3 because almost nobody paid the actual cost. Everyone suspended it for 3.
Maybe.
Because it was from, Future Sight. I want to say whenever we did the pre-release and everything of that, nobody hard cast it. Everyone just suspended it, and you just thought to yourself, okay, in 3 turns, I'm going to have to deal with this. And that's what happened. But the fact that you do have this thing that it can be dealt to players, just like the hate seed can deal damage to players or creatures. You've got the potential to deal 2 with the Arcblade, and then if you've got a bunch of little red weenie creatures that you can just be like boom, 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 boom. Or if you does hate seed, can you? Yeah, if you've got the mana open, you could just remove +1/+1 counters and just blow stuff away. And use the Arcblade to lead the way.
Sometimes I wonder about how you build Dexter.
With lots of mana.
That's usually the right way.
Yeah. That's exactly how we do it.
Touche, Dirkus. Touche.
See what he did there. So while everyone was talking, I did a search for some things, and I got nothing. I was wanting to find something other than it's Doubling Season, Primal Vigor. What's the other one?
That thing from Innistrad Block.
Yeah, that other one. Parallel Nature, is that it? Parallel Lives. I wanted to find something other than those that involve the word doubling or twice and dealt with counters. And I got nothing other than Solidarity of Heroes, and that's that's just not good. So I will go back to my original search and say, so we're going to be making a lot of creatures, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So how about Volcanic Wind? I love Volcanic Wind. For 4 red, it's a sorcery that was an uncommon from Mask's block. That's Mercadian Mask itself. Yeah. Yes. And it deals X damage divided as you choose among any number of target creatures, where X is the number of creatures on the battlefield.
Ooh.
Ah, I forgot it wasn't just creatures you control. That's... Mm-hmm. Jesus.
I used to play with it back in college. I wonder why I stopped.
I did too, and I don't know either. So yeah, it's essentially going to be... It's either going to take out a few big things or a lot of little things if your deck is working the way it's supposed to and giving you lots of creatures, which means lots of damage to throw around. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Brian, what you got?
I have Orin Reef the Vastwood. It is a land, and you can tap it for a green. It does enter the battlefield tapped. Or you can tap it and put a +1/+1 counter on each green creature that entered the battlefield this turn.
That is one that I could not remember for the life of me earlier. Did I spell that right?
I think so.
Okay.
You can fix it in post.
That's true. Nice. Nice call. I like it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, the last thought that came into my head, I don't know if this will actually help the deck or end up being a big waste of time, but I thought of Mog Infestation. Who knows? Yeah, we'll just have to see how it works. But it's a red sorcery for 3 and 2 red. Destroy all creatures target player controls, and then they get twice that many 1/1 goblin tokens. Sorry, I killed all your guys. Here's some goblins.
All right, and the last one I saw was one thing red is really good at is blowing up artifacts. So just in case someone is playing some really mean artifacts, artifact mutation. So red green instant that's rare from invasion. Destroy target artifact. It cannot be regenerated. Put X 1/1 green sapling creature tokens onto the battlefield where X is the artifact's converted mana cost. So, pretty cheap artifact destruction.
Yeah. And then Commander's like going to be like, oh, nice Akroma's Memorial. Thanks for the saplings.
Oh, is that me again?
Yep.
Rap. I'm still on my search page here for a number of creatures. And the one that I keep going back to is Mana Echoes, but that's so wrong.
That could get messed up.
Luckily, Mana Burn isn't a thing anymore, but...
That could backfire so hard.
Back in the day, it could, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, even now. I mean, it works for everybody, doesn't it? Oh, no, wait. Holy crap. No, it just works for you. I'm thinking of something else. I don't know what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it is just you. Okay, so Mana Echoes is a bizarre, rare enchantment from...
Onslaught.
And it's a rare red enchantment, so it's probably stupid. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield, you may add X to your mana pool, where X is the number of creatures you control that share a creature type with it. So let's say you pay 1 to remove a sapling, or to remove a counter from Ulasht, and throw down a sap. And you've got 3 other saps out. So now you're going to get 3 mana.
4 mana.
Number of creatures you control, so it counts that creature.
Oh, no, wait, never mind. I'm sorry, I read it wrong.
Okay, so 3 mana, because you've already got 3 saps, so you get a new dude, and you get 3 mana for the dudes that are already there.
Scroll down to the rulings notes.
Scroll down to the rulings notes, so the arrows. Oh, you do get to count the creature itself.
Okay.
You even get 1 mana if it's the only creature you have on the battlefield, assuming it has at least 1 creature type. Oh, okay, cool. So the way it's worded is weird. So... You have 3 saps out, you remove a counter from Ulasht, and make another one, you get 4 mana. Then you use 1 of those, remove a counter from Ulasht to make a zap, and now you have 8 mana total.
Oh.
I see how this works. I see what you did there.
For every counter you remove from Ulasht, you get some stupid amount of mana, plus 1, and then,
winds, here we come!
Yeah, and then you do something stupid with it, like a fireball or something. I don't know, whatever. And that's just 1 use.
Yeah.
Never mind what happens if you have a Mana Echoes out and you cast Scatter the Seeds. What does that make? 3 saps? So
yeah.
So it gets you 9 mana?
Mm-hmm.
And it costs 5?
Yeah.
That's a nice plus. I like it. So that will be my one big stupid thing is Mana Echoes, because it's a big stupid thing.
Yeah.
Is it big and stupid?
It is so stupid.
How much is Mana Echoes called?
Let me play this little set. Let me drop everything in my hand.
I am thinking of a totally different card. I have no idea.
Yeah, what card are you thinking of?
Something that's probably even more different than this.
Even more different.
Well then, Mog Infestation. That's awesome. I'm going to blow up all my dudes, get a bunch of goblins, recast my commander.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, if you really want to do that with Mike's here, have a bunch of goblins, you can do, Brian, what's it, insurrection? What's the one where all their stuff joins your side and gains?
Insurrection. Insurrection.
Yeah. So you can throw
for
that 8 in
mana,
there.
Gain control of all creatures, they all gain haste.
So with Mana Echoes, you can actually cast the insurrection.
So you insurrection.
And laugh and laugh and laugh.
You insurrection and you bring everyone down to some amount of life. Don't kill them though, because if you kill them, you don't get goblins. And then you cast Mog Infestation
on yourself.
On yourself, because you're the only one with creatures. And now nobody has creatures, but you have a whole mess of goblins. That's awful. Dirk, you're a sick individual. First you choose Arcblade, and then you blow up the world. Everybody's world.
And then once the world's blown up, the Arcblade comes back and deals you two, giving you the middle finger. Oh, you don't have anything worth killing. Take two.
Oh. That was fun.
You wanted to know how Dirk built a deck. Like a jerk.
You're welcome.
Okay, so that is Craig's story circle for Wulasht that he asked for like 1,000 years ago.
That's a nasty deck.
Looks like fun. I have, you know, when I was redoing all my rares, I was looking at all these crazy cards that would be so awesome for Commander, and Wulasht was one I actually stopped and read again and said, damn, and put him back in the binder. So we might have to Johan this one. I might actually build something like this and
see what... I, too, have looked at him many times, especially since I didn't really have anything. I've dabbled in Gruul before, and I've had, like, Borborygmos before. But I had always wanted to try it, and I've always chickened out. So you need to do it. Bring the hate seed.
I'm really considering turning my... my beast, well, not turning my beast deck into a commander deck, but building a beast commander deck that would also be Gruul, because I think I would probably drop the white.
It's only there for one card, right?
At the moment, yeah, and I can't think of any other cards that would be that good in that deck, so.
You wouldn't do, like, just keep the white and do Animar? Not Animar. The Anima? What's her? Mael the Anima?
I mean, maybe? I don't remember what she does.
She can get a big creature out of your library. Off the top few cards.
Look at the top five, choose a creature with power 5 or greater, and put it into your hand?
It's on the battlefield. Because it costs 6 to do.
Yeah. Maybe I'll build that deck. But as far as a beast, I mean, there's not like a beast commander. There's very few legendary beasts.
There are 3.
Who are they?
I think. I did the search just recently when I was thinking about this. There's Earl, that jerk.
Let's yep, the Mistwalker Stalker dude.
Beast. Look. Legendary. And search. Yeah, there are 3. There's Earl the Miststalker. They're all Naya colored. There's Gaji Honored One. He's from the second round of Commander.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so is Marith, Will of the Wild.
Yeah, and so is that how you pronounce that?
Mm-hmm.
Marith? Marath?
That's what I would say.
Mayrath, Will of the Wild. Mm-hmm. And... none of them really have anything to do with
beasts.
My beast deck. Yeah. I mean, Gaji Honored One, whenever a creature attacks one of your opponents or a planeswalker an opponent controls, that creature gets bigger, which encourages people to not attack me. And then the other one, the other one's just silly. It does lots of stuff, but it makes elementals. Who cares about elementals? Oh, he's an
elemental. Hey.
So, yeah. I'm thinking of just doing... oh, I thought you were waving a card at me to look at it. I was like, what? No. Mike likes to fidget. I did not realize this before, but I think when Mike is sitting at home with his headset on, he fidgets with stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's tons of little things sitting on my coffee table and, like, near the couch and whatever that I can pick up and screw around with. But now that Chewy keeps looking at me and telling me to put stuff down. And it's...
you guys have heard this. Or maybe this. Something like this.
You're like the little kid at the neighbor's house.
Yeah.
And Chewie's like, just sit still.
Yeah, if you guys have heard this throughout the episode, yeah, that was Mike just fiddling. And I keep looking at him and he keeps dropping stuff. And then a few minutes later, it's back in his hand again. It's really funny. Anyway, that's okay. Brian keeps clicking. I assume it's Brian. It's got to be Brian. It's always Brian.
I'm not clicking, at least right now. I mean, maybe I've clicked in the past. Just because I've clicked in the past does not mean I am going to click now. That is character evidence, and it is inadmissible.
Ah, well, okay then. Is it really?
Yeah, you can't infer that someone is more likely to do something simply because they have done it in the past. That's... highly not good.
No. What if someone stabbed someone in the face before? and the crime that they're currently thinking about is someone there that they're currently working on is someone that has been stabbed in the face.
Then it's probably not admissible unless they curved their initials into them and the same initials were found in the same manner.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But simply saying, hey, look, this guy likes to carve things into people's faces is probably not sufficient.
Oh, sweet. I might get away with it. I mean, so anyway, what were we talking about before we got off on Legendary Beasts and Mike fidgeting? I forgot.
I think you were just talking about how you might build the Olash deck.
Oh, yeah. So, but the problem is, I think what I would end up doing is taking the white out of the beast deck and making it straight black-green. Because I've only got one Thrag Tusk. That is my real problem here. I've got one Thrag Tusk, and I need to do something with it. And putting one Thrag Tusk in a casual 60-card beast deck hurts. So
you put some Worldly Tutors in there.
Or I could get more Thrag Tusks.
Get more Thrag Tusks. That's always a... That's the solution to all of life's problems, isn't it?
That and Relentless Assault, yeah. Oh, well. So, let's call this episode, because I think the listeners need a nice short one after the epic nonsense we've had the last 100 or so. So, so how about some... Wait, is there anything else? Oh. So, if you're listening to this now, that means... Last week, I talked about... We got site news before we do final thoughts. Last week, I talked about Mike Okahara doing his peculiar flavor roundup. He's doing those on Monday. Mike's fidgeting again. He's doing those on Monday. And the first one is up already. It went up last Monday, or I guess yesterday as of right now. And it's pretty funny. What he's doing is he's going to random card and clicking and then coming up with alternate rejected flavor text. And the three that he's got up on this first one are pretty funny. So every Monday he's going to put up a few of the ones he did that week or the previous week or whatever. So be on the lookout for that. I also have another, by the time this goes up, another episode of Squee Draft that Bill did. He did an M15 release event draft, and his audio is getting desynced, and he doesn't understand why, and I don't either, and it's really funny to hear him complain about it. But, because the system audio isn't, so all the noise coming from Magic Online matches what's on the screen, but his voiceover is desynced. He said by the end of it, it's like 2 or 3 seconds off.
Wow.
That's weird. But he said he's going to go in and at the beginning of each game and manually readjust it so that at the end it's only off by a little bit instead of several seconds, which is really funny. So yeah, the new Squeeze Draft is up. He tried Thieving Mitts. What is that called? Rogue's Gloves?
Yeah. Rogue's Gloves?
Yeah.
Thieving Mitts.
Yeah, that's like the article name is Squee Tries Thieving Mitts or something. It's working on being posted. I have to make a picture. And you'll be able to tell it's a Squee Draft on themanapool.com because whatever card art he tells me to use, there will also be a Squee photoshopped into it just so you can tell. He wants to use the one from Fact or Fiction because he looks confused, which is perfect for Squee Draft videos. So go check that out. Hopefully by the time you're hearing this, another random card of the day went up because I recorded it already. And yeah, I think that's all the site news. For the Tilt Expo, I'm going to keep plugging that because it keeps getting more interesting. So not only are all the cool Saturday sealed event prizes that I talked about last week still up, you know, the first place I think was an iPad. Is that what it was? An iPad Mini? Something like that.
I missed you talking about this.
Second place was a 3DS. Third and fourth place is a From the Vault Annihilation. And then more stuff she said is coming, hopefully. So, and there's packs beyond that, you know, all that good stuff. It's going to be a big M15 sealed event Saturday. I will be doing a panel, and I keep choking. Hang on. There we go. I will be doing a panel with a couple of other podcasters, Kelly Hightower from Mating Habits of the Modern Geek, and a third person who I haven't been told who they are yet, about podcasting in general. I will be doing a panel on magic, something more specific that's magic-related of some flavor. That's up to me, apparently. And there's another panel that they're wanting to do that involves Hearthstone and magic, and I'm actually talking to Mike and Brian to see if they want to do that. So stop typing or mute.
That's my fault that time. I'm sorry. I apologize. You could hear that? Oh, yeah, you could hear that if you're complaining. Okay, sorry. But yes, that looks like a really interesting panel. And I'd say I'm about halfway certain that I'll maybe do it, but I have to check with someone else that has a vested interest in what I do with my time.
Yeah, so all that's still up in the air. I still don't know if they need you guys to do that, or if that was just an idea of something that was thrown out. I don't know. So we're working on that, but it's September 5th through the 7th, and it's going to be awesome, and it's in Durham, North Carolina. Everyone should go and see me and play in the thing and do the Mating Habits of the Modern Geek speed dating. That sounds just entertaining as hell. I got to see if I can get in on that. And Movie Bob will be there, and at least one artist for DC. I don't have it up at the moment. It will be there. So Red Bull is going to be there as a sponsor, passing out free Red Bull. So get high, or not high. What is it? You get wired.
Get wings.
Get wings. Yeah, get wings and fly around and buzz at people. There will be lots of cosplay going on. That's one thing I remember from the first Escapist Expo was all the cosplayers walking around. Did you see the Iron Man? The chick in the Iron Man suit that had the lights in the hands and the thing, no? Or the chest plate? That was awesome. That just occurred to me.
I remember when I was at Escapist Expo, I was in the magic event all day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were wandering around in and out once the other thing was open. Before, no, it was before the tournament.
All day.
Yeah, never mind. But anyway, yeah, lots of that going on. The humans versus zombies thing is still going on. It's going to be a blast. Everyone should check it out. And yeah, so now, how about some final thoughts? Mike.
It was nice to come over here and hang around with Chewy. Hopefully we weren't too much of a bad influence on each other being in the same room, cutting up more than usual. But I will be glad to have my internet back so I can play Diablo again. Because not being able to play Diablo kind of makes me sad.
Does it make you sad?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does look sad. That's why he's wearing festive colors, is to try to cheer up. Is it working?
Maybe.
Hey, yay!
Huzzah.
So you good?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay. Dirk?
This week is our teacher work days and everything. I, despite what a lot of teachers are saying, I'm actually kind of glad to be back. It's, you know, when you're at home and there's really nothing to do except for, you know, play video games all day, you kind of get burned out and you just need something. I myself need something that's, I feel is constructive. And getting my room ready and starting to plan and all that for the school year feels like a better use of my time. And I feel better, actually being in my room and getting stuff ready than just sort of lounging around at home feeling like a bum. So I feel like I'm happy to be back at school. I know several of the teachers I talked to and they looked at me funny like I had like 15 eyes and. Well, just
that's
as many
an odd
heads.
Number.
I just randomly
Both
picked a number.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, I mean, so, when I was, I've said this before, when I was unemployed, well, I guess I technically still am, but like the beginning of unemployment is always like, woo, I can play games all day. And then it turns into, I can play games all day.
Yeah, it becomes a chore.
Like the.
And it's.
Well, no, I don't play well.
Games are not fun when they're a chore.
But like. That's the first time I was unemployed for a long time. That's when Scott made the website. So then I had something to do. And then this last time I was unemployed, I did a Kickstarter and, you know, doing YouTube videos and stuff. So I understand what you mean. I very rarely play games now that I have literally all day that I could do whatever the hell I wanted to. I'm usually sitting here working on something, which if you could go back to like anywhere from 15 to 25 year old me and tell me that I would be doing that, I would laugh in your face.
Yeah. And that's how I feel too, is that if it was, you know, me back in college or something and saw the games that I had, be like, okay, I'll trade places with you. And, but yeah, during the summer and the master's class has helped also keeping me going and occupied and going out to the grandparents last week. We found lots of stuff that needed to be worked on and all. And that kept him busy, but you know, there was a week or two before that, and I just sat at home and didn't really go out or do anything. And I thought to myself, "Oh my gosh, I'm bored." So I'm happy to be back at school, and I feel like that's what I've the planning and everything that I want to do this year. I'm really trying to get that set up and everything. So I feel like I'm being more constructive, and I feel better. You know, getting out and doing something.
Nice. You do something there.
So, that's my final thought.
So, O'Brien.
Yes, that is me. Is it time for my final thought?
Sure.
I suppose it is. Hope you all have enjoyed this episode. I really enjoy story circles, and it's been a while since we did one. I feel like my last couple final thoughts have been somber and, you know, about big things like death and, you know, life and death and stuff. So I'm just going to say, that I hope everybody's doing well. It's great to talk to these guys, and hopefully we'll have something really special for you next week if it works out. If it doesn't, then we'll still have our usual rigmarole, and it'll hopefully be enjoyable. But yeah, so glad to talk to you guys. Glad to be here, Steve. And I don't know where that came from. I'm just happy to be here. I don't really have anything mind-blowing going on right now. I'm staying up until midnight specifically so that we can do stuff for Disney, and that's complicated, and I'll explain it later. It has to do with Fast Pass Plus. We're basically picking out now the rides that we're going to be doing in 60 days. But if we don't pick them out now, we don't get to do the best ones.
Yeah, Lex told me that the Fast Passes, as I knew them back in the day, are no longer a thing.
Yeah, you can now load them onto your wristbands, which are your tickets, up to 60 days in advance of your arrival time. It's really weird, and it means that I'm going to be up until midnight tonight choosing... we've already got them picked out. Lex came over. Carrie's told me what to do. I have detailed instructions. That was one of the things that I had to mute for before.
So that's why you have to be up till midnight. It's because that's the 60-day mark.
Yes.
Oh, my God. This makes me really feel sorry for people who are just like, let's go to Disney, and go to Disney. If you don't plan months ahead of time, you're getting boned.
Yeah. They've always... it's always been an advantage to plan, but, now you're right. It's basically, you know, if you don't do it, then you're in trouble.
It's like complexity creep. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like trying to jump into Legacy right now. You just can't. You can't just jump into Legacy. You have to build and invest.
And learn.
And learn and plan. You can't just, I think I'm gonna play Legacy. Burp. See how I turned that back to magic? Yeah.
Yep.
And it made sense, too. That's the messed up part. Okay, sorry. Keep going, sir.
No, that's pretty much it. So I'm happy to be here with these guys and talking about stuff and things. And, yeah. So, awesome.
All right. And do I have any, like, actual final thoughts? Not really, no. One more update. The backer surveys were sent out. If you don't have it, just go to Kickstarter and log in, and you can get to it from the site. It might have gone into a spam folder. It might have gone to an email address that you don't use anymore, which has happened to two people that have talked to me already. And it could be, like Molly, that you got locked out of your email address that it used and couldn't get in to see it.
That's unfortunate.
She's like, wait, didn't you say you sent out the surveys? Yeah. Why don't I have it? So I looked her up in my backer report. It's like, it went to your Yahoo address. Oh, okay, hang on. It says I'm locked out of my Yahoo address. Can you send it to this other address? No. I don't do that. It does it automatically. Oh. But then we found out that you could log into Kickstarter and apparently it flashes something up at the top of the screen. Hey, stupid, come fill this out so you can get your swag. It probably doesn't say that, but. That's what it means. Hey, stupid, like you want stickers? Your swag?
YOLO. Like stickers.
YOLO, bitches.
Stickers.
Yes, it is very important, everyone, that you answer all the questions on the backer survey and answer them, you know, correctly and honestly, so I'll know what to send you, and I'll be double-checking with your amount in case you screwed something up, so I'll know what to send you and where to send it to. And what extra stuff you want, and what size shirt you want, and all that it's all vitally important. I left off anything that was nonsensical. I was really tempted to put, like, what color is 5 on everyone's survey, and I decided against it. Like, how much do you love Chewy? I actually typed that in one of them and saved it. And I went back later, and I was like, what is this doing here? Delete, delete, delete. So, yeah, it looks like only, like, under half... I think, or what I have left for people that need to fill it out. So I think I counted it up earlier manually, and I had 80-some that still needed to answer. So most of you have answered. If you already did, just ignore this. But if you haven't, for God's sake, please do, so I'll know how much of everything I need to order to make sure I don't short anything. That's the importance here. So yay! And with that, I guess we'll call this episode done. You can contact us in a variety of ways. You can send us an email to dorks@themanipool.com, and hopefully that works. I think it's just Brian's email address that's screwed up. You can follow us on Twitter. That's mostly me, @themanipool. You can go to themanipool.com and get all this information, as well as see everything that we do, right? Yeah. And Twitter, Facebook, got a Facebook group. No, a Facebook page. Go like that. Forums. Go jump on the forums. Mishra, crap. I'm not looking at it. Mishra Harad, has a thread on there asking what your favorite of each card type is. And that actually got my creative juices flowing quite hard because I don't do favorites.
You wrote a lot.
I did. Well, when I do write, I write a lot. Mm-hmm. You know that. But I don't do favorites very often, so I actually sat down and, like, thought real hard about what my favorite of these things would be. And I wrote a lot. And it's interesting to see what everyone else is saying. So if you're on our forums and you haven't answered that yet, go do that. It's great. It's called what is it called? Who are you magic-wise, I think?
I think so.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a lot of fun. The forums, you can get to the forums from themanipool.com by clicking on forums. It's very simple. And with that, that'll be enough. So, this has been episode 336. Right. It's our area code. Oh, I should have used the Ludacris song as our musical break. Because, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but I got hoes and different area codes. Also got rakes, but only one shovel.
It's the weirdest thing.
It is. I don't understand it. So, this has been episode 336. Of the Manipool. Thank you all very much for listening, and go play some magic.